We greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10. Again, verse 22. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you again. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you. Lord, help us to bring glory to you and honor. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. Lord, forgive us where we fail you. Help us to be faithful to you. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. All right, John chapter 10 and verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he then called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. This morning I want to just talk about Jesus and what really made him stand out among the people, and what it was that he himself gave witness to, that he was from the Father. Like I've said before many times, that we look back and we read these things about Jesus, and it's easy for us to look back and say, "Oh yeah, that was Jesus," or "we know who Jesus is," or we would believe Jesus if he was here. And it's easy for us to look back and wonder why these people didn't understand who Jesus was. Everybody ought to recognize who Jesus was. Everybody knows who Jesus was. And the whole world today lives in that state, thinking and believing that, of course, they would be the ones who recognize Jesus. Everyone thinks that. that if I was living in these times, well, of course I would know who Jesus is. And that's the mentality that we have. That's the mentality that the world has. Who in Christianity today wouldn't believe that they would know who he was if they were living in that time? And so we live under this assumption that we would recognize him, we would know him. I would be among those, like this says, that believed in him there. But the truth is in that time, there were very few that actually recognized him. Many people were looking for him, looking to find him in the scriptures, looking to find him to see that he lined up with everything in their theology and everything that they did. And many times he was challenged on that level, and he didn't match up to what they had thought that he would be. And the same would go today. If Jesus was here today, living among us, people would first see if this man matches up with what we believe he ought to be matching up to. There's heard of stories and songs even have been written about people who have gone to a church. There's the books even written about it, that people have gone to a church and, well, the man didn't have a nice suit on, and he didn't have, he maybe he wasn't all shaven and clean cut and everything just so, and drive a big fancy car. And so whenever he got to church, they just said, well, we don't really want your kind in here. And I've thought about that today in many churches all over the world. Different churches have put regulations on themselves. And the plain churches, if you don't have a certain color socks, and if you don't wear a certain color coat, and you don't have the right kind of hat, well, you're not allowed to be a member of the church. And these are people who say that they believe in Jesus. And Jesus wouldn't even be allowed to be a member of their church because he doesn't fit their idea of what he is. And I just think about that. How pitiful that is, that we've built this type of church and we of the expectations that we would have, and that Jesus could come in and he wouldn't meet up to what we think he ought to be. So we would reject him. What difference is there between that and these people here in the Bible that were rejecting him, wanting to take up stones to kill him? What difference is there? We think, oh, there's a great difference. This is me. That's them. But yet, here, I believe it's the very same thing. We're still rejecting Jesus. The world is still rejecting Jesus. Here he was teaching and saying that I'm the Son of Man. He just came out and said it plainly. And they rejected it. And then he gave this example. And he said, if the Jews picked up, or my Father has given them, is greater than all, and no one else is to snatch him. I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones again to stone him in verse 31. In verse 32, and Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The things that Jesus was doing in his life were the works of the Father. It's the things that the Father would be doing if he were in the very same place, in the same position. I don't know how many times I've been in situations where I've heard people commend someone for doing what is right and then condemn them for not having the right theology. I don't know how many times I've been in situations where someone did what is right, went against the grain, took courage and stood up and did what is right, and yet was condemned because they didn't have the right kind of clothes on. They didn't have the right theology. They didn't belong to the right group. Here, this is what Jesus was. Jesus wasn't concerned about fitting into some pattern, fitting into some group. He came in and just did what was right. He stepped in where nobody else would and just took up the slack where nobody else would even have anything to do with him. He would heal people. He helped people. He did everything that he could. And yet, for some reason or another, well, that just don't quite match up with what's right. They couldn't see that doing good and doing what is right that's what he was trying to show them to get them to recognize who he was. That's how he proved to them who he was. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, for which one of the good things that I've done are you going to stone me? Oh, no. It wasn't the good things you're doing. We're going to stone you for another reason. I don't care the good things you've done. It don't matter how much the life you've lived has proven to us that you are who you say you are. We're going to stone you for another reason completely. That's why we're going to stone you. All of the things that he did as evidence and proof that he was the Son of God were thrown right out the window because of one little thing they disagreed with him on. He didn't fit their little mold. And that's the problem. And people do the same thing today. It doesn't matter how much good you do in the community. It doesn't matter how much you try to help people. It doesn't matter what you reach out and do what's right over and over again. You're still rejected because you don't fit somebody's mold. The whole idea that Jesus said, we're going to be judged by our works. Just like it was the evidence of who he was, proof that he was who he was. And that's what he's saying here. He's that if you come to do the Father's will, he came to do the Father's will. When we're doing the Father's will, we're in line with him. And that's what we're going to be judged by. This idea that we're just going to be judged by what we believe, or making sure we have everything right, or we're a part of the right group. That's just exactly what the Pharisees were believing here. Just exactly what they were believing. And that's just exactly what caused them to reject Christ. And the same is the same today. Whenever someone, they were going to stone him. And he said, for what work are you going to stone me? And he said, well, that's not what we're looking at. That's not what we're looking at. But that's what he's looking at. That's what he is watching for. Mark chapter 15, verse 10. Here's where Jesus was standing before Pilate. verse 1. Early in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the whole council immediately held a consultation. And binding Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pilate. They found a way. It didn't matter what all good he had done. It didn't matter how much he had done exactly what he was supposed to do. They found something to condemn him. They held a meeting. They all got together. And they found something that they tried. They thought they could condemn him. They held a consultation and they bound him. And they led him away and delivered him to the judge. Pilate questioning him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered, "It is as you say." The chief priest began to accuse him harshly. Then Pilate questioned him again, saying, "Do you not answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested, the man named Barabbas. He had been imprisoned with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. Pilate answered to them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priest has handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Verse 10 is what I want. For he was aware that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. Envy is a ugly, ugly thing. Envy. A lot of times we think of envy as a lust or something that we would really like to have something, or covetousness. But that's not what envy is. Envy is these people who strove to be holy. They worked day and night to have this appearance of being holy. And then this man came along, and instead of striving to have all of his doctrines right, instead of striving to have all of his theology correct, instead of striving to have this appearance of holiness to everyone else, he just walked through the people and he did what was right. He did good. He was honest. He was a blessing to the people. He helped people. He went in, he stepped in where no one else would. He did the little jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And he just did them. And the people began to praise him for what he was doing. They began to appreciate, the common people began to really appreciate what he was doing. He was doing the works of God. The simple things, the things that everybody knew was, hey, that man is doing what's right. And it's obvious. He just stepped in and started doing them. And all these people that were striving for this holiness and striving for this acceptance and striving for this glory that come with being religious and being pious and that all of those things, here this man just came in and started doing a bunch of simple little things. Down to earth, plain, just stepped in where nobody wanted to. And they became envious because he was getting the praise. He was actually doing what they thought everyone would attribute to themselves because of their righteousness, because of their knowledge, because of their understanding, because of their acceptance in religious circles, because of They're striving to be holy. And here someone just came in and did the dirty work and was getting praised for being like God. That's what they wanted. They wanted the credit for this. They wanted the blessings that come. They wanted the recognition of being like God. And here this simple man comes along and starts doing these tasks, and everyone begins attributing what he's doing, his works, to godliness, to being like the Father. It just stands out. And everyone recognizes it. But because of envy, a righteous, self-righteous people, because of envy of people who cannot obtain what this simple man is doing, they delivered him to Pilate. Envy. Trying to take something away from somebody else because you don't measure up. Because you don't have what it takes to. And so you have to take that away from that person so that you can get some of that for yourself. Because that's what you want. You want what he has. You want this godliness. You want this recognition. You want this type of holiness. But you don't have it. You ain't got it. And so instead of letting him have it and learning from the simple, learning, you got to tear it down. You got to try to destroy that. You got to stone it. You got to deliver it to Pilate because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's what envy does. That's the ugliness of it all. That's where the blasphemy comes in. Because they're trying to attribute godliness and goodliness to all of this high, lofty aspiration of holy things instead of getting their hands dirty and just doing the simple things. And then when someone comes along and says, "Wow, he's actually doing something about this. We can talk about it. We can explain it." And there, the people begin to acknowledge, "Wow, this guy's actually doing something. This is good. This is what God would be doing." And envy fills the hearts of the wicked. And they raise up and they've got to tear down what somebody else is doing. We'll have our conferences. We'll have our consultations. We'll have all kinds of things going on that appear like we're really doing something. And then someone comes along and just starts doing it. And we go looking for rocks. Because they're making us look bad. They're making us look bad. They're where we're supposed to be. That makes us look bad. So instead of saying, "Hey, I think I'll join them. I think I'll learn a little something here and just start putting into practice the things that they're doing. We'll go get a book. We'll go study a little more. We'll go have a meeting and decide we're going to condemn that. We're going to try to tear that down. Instead of doing it themselves." That's the blasphemy. Whenever Jesus talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it's not because of the things you believe. It's not because some word you've said before out of order. It's because the good things that were in Jesus that made the people recognize that this is what God is about. They threw all that out because it didn't fit what they wanted God to be about. And for envy, jealousy, I want that. I want what he has. And instead of learning from him, they tear it down. That's ugliness. That's blasphemy. If someone is doing the works of God, who am I to say they're all wrong? They're doing it right, but I can't figure out how it works. It must be wrong. Good is good. Good is good. Good is good. And when you start making good bad because it makes you look bad, that's blasphemy. Good is right wherever it's found. God is good. God is right wherever he is found. He's not limited to your little box. You do what's right is right. But envy sees right and says, wow, I'm not getting any credit from that. Wow, that's not helping me any. I'm going to have to tear it up. I'm going to get as close as I can to it and see if I can get some credit for it and then tear it down and take the credit away from myself. That's what envy does. And it's an ugly thing. It's a thing that's been happening from the beginning, and it will happen until the Lord returns again. For what good work do you stone me? Oh, no, 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 no. It's not the good works we're stoning you. You're just doing it wrong. For what good works do you stone me? Oh, no, no, no. It's not the good works. You just haven't figured out and done the right formula for it yet. You've missed it. I don't know how to do it. I've got it all figured out on paper. But I know you can't do it, even though you are, because you can't figure it out on paper. Godliness. This one verse that says, Jesus said, who are they? Who are my brothers and my sisters? And he just simply said, he that hears the words of God and does them, that's my brother. He that does the will of God. The will of God isn't some achieving some lofty, great thing. The will of God is treating others the way you would want treated yourself. It's loving your brother. It's stepping in and doing the things that nobody else wants to do. Somebody else wants to come in and take the credit. Someone else wants to come in and get all the glory for it, while you do the dirty work. And we turn the other cheek and just keep on doing it. May the Lord add his blessings. Father, thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Help us to do your will, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh,